You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 414.
On Flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin.
Here we go again. We're recording remotely, of course, but we're here.
That we are.
You're doing okay?
I am. How about you?
I'm fine. We're good. I mean, everything's horrible. Don't get me wrong.
Right. Well, there's no getting around that.
Yeah, we're doing okay. Actually, our masks arrived today. We got masks. Have you been wearing masks? Do you have a mask?
I have scarves that I've been wearing as masks.
All right. We got some masks from the mayor's mom, actually, hooked us up with some masks that she made. And also, just today, mere hours ago, direct from Las Vegas, some more masks arrived in the mail from our friend Brittany. She's been making masks for people as well.
Oh, that is very sweet.
Yes, my new mask has like fish on it. It's like whales and seahorses and sea creatures and stuff. It's like an Aquaman style mask.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm going to wear it next time I hold up a riverboat casino. Next time I pull one of my heists on the water, it's going to be perfect.
You'll definitely fit the part.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Cornflake, what's happening this week for National Whatever Day?
It is a 55th birthday on April 16th for John Cryer.
Oh, that's a big one. Yes, John Cryer.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, I'll admit to having watched him in 2.5 Men.
Yeah, that was a massively popular show that ran for a long time. I never saw it.
Not once?
Never.
Wow, I did see it. There was maybe a year or two that I watched it out of its many, many year run. And of course, loved him as Ducky, which is his breakout role in Pretty in Pink. But we've talked about other things that he's known for on this show.
Oh, yes, we have.
So I thought we should acknowledge his birthday because, boy, can we go on about John Cryer.
Yeah, going back to that 80s stuff beyond Pretty in Pink. We must acknowledge once again, as we have many times, gotta talk some hiding out, I suppose.
Yes, we do.
Hiding out. Which I know we were just talking about hiding out yet again last year when we had Ed here to discuss trains in TV shows and movies. Because the opening scene in Hiding Out was filmed at South Station, the big train station in Boston. And there's John Cryer jumping on a commuter train out of Boston and proceeding to star in a very creepy movie. But we love it anyway. Which a guy, an adult grown man, is running from the mob. And so he disguises himself as a high school student and then falls into a romance with a high school girl. And now we have a problem.
Very true.
But it's John Cryer, so all is forgiven.
More recently, though, Supergirl, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this was the second Superman-related project for John Cryer, because back in the 80s, same year as Hiding Out, I believe, I think this was 87, was still the Christopher Reeve era of Superman. Superman IV, The Quest for Peace, he was Lenny Luthor. He was the nephew, I guess, of Lex Luthor.
Oh.
So wow. He was like this goofy, like, teen sidekick to Lex Luthor in Superman 4, and now John Cryer plays Lex Luthor on Supergirl, the current TV series.
Yeah.
And he's great.
Amazing.
He's quickly established as one of the best Lex Luthors ever.
Absolutely.
Are there any members of the Luthor family left that we'd like to see John Cryer take a shot at?
That's an excellent question. One that I think you'd be better at answering than I would.
He could play Lena Luthor, perhaps. That's Lex Luthor's sister. That'd be more of a stretch, more of a challenge as an actor. I think he could do it.
I could see it.
Yeah, so, you know, like every 30 years, he takes on another Luthor. That's the long-term trajectory of the career of John Cryer. So maybe around the time he's celebrating his 84th birthday, it'll be about time to play Lex Luthor's sister. That's the plan.
He could be a Luthor for all seasons.
Well, John Cryer better hope that I never become his manager.
You got some plans for that boy.
Some terrible, terrible plans. I'm going to ruin his career. Cornflake, you've been watching some TV shows this week, I'm guessing, since we're all trapped in the house?
Yeah, I had mentioned that I was going to get started up on Star Trek Picard.
Oh, yes.
And I did. Is this something that you've had the chance to get into at all?
I still have not seen any of the new Picard series, no.
I feel tricked, but only a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I suppose I should have known. That's not to say that I don't like the show. I do. It is quite the departure from The Next Generation. It takes some of the characters from it and really makes a very different story. But it is a departure into a much darker and more complex world. So that caught me off guard just a little bit. But I am still enjoying it quite a bit. And I think you could pretty much take Patrick Stewart playing Jean-Luc Picard and stick him in anything, and I would be happy. So maybe I'm not the best critic, but I will tell you that I am enjoying all the twists and turns of the story of Picard kind of returning to the world of being a ship captain in some pretty dire circumstances. Nevertheless, the darkness factor really kind of threw me for a loop. So what about you?
You know, we always enjoy goofy old reruns of The Love Boat.
Yeah, nothing beats that.
So we put on The Love Boat the other night, and this might be the most bizarre episode of Love Boat ever. Just for anybody that hasn't been watching goofy old Love Boat episodes as much as I have.
I think that's all of us. Go ahead.
Which is everyone, yes. Well, maybe this will inspire you to seek out ridiculous old Love Boat episodes like this. This is a two-part Love Boat episode that we just saw from pretty late in the run of The Love Boat. In fact, this was from the Ted McGinley era. Ted McGinley was already part of the crew as Ace, the photographer, you know. Here's some of the storylines that unfolded. This was a Scandinavian cruise. And along for the ride was John Davidson, who was one of the hosts of That's Incredible.
And Hollywood Squares.
Yes, yes, that's right. You'd probably know him better from Hollywood Squares also. John Davidson was there. John Davidson was auditioning a bunch of girls in bikinis throughout Scandinavia to sign up for a modeling contract or something. Meanwhile, he was chasing after, I can't remember the actor's name, but she was a nurse on Trapper John M.D., but she was pretending to be Swedish, but putting on this ridiculous Swedish accent. That was wonderful. Meanwhile, Jack Klugman is on the cruise. You know, Jack Klugman from The Odd Couple, and he was Quincy. Jack Klugman is miserable because he has no success with the ladies, and he decides it's because of his nose. And so he decides he's going to get a nose job. He's going to get cosmetic surgery done and denosify on The Love Boat. Yeah.
On the cruise.
While he's on the cruise, he schedules surgery in Scandinavia. Meanwhile, Susanna York is also on the cruise. I mainly know her from the Superman movies, just like John Cryer, you know, but she was in the Superman, the movie with Christopher Reeve as his mother on Krypton. Susanna York is on the cruise as well. She falls in love with Jack Klugman. Then she learns that he has surgery scheduled, and it's a wacky misunderstanding. She is under the impression that he's not getting a nose job, but that he's having a gender reassignment surgery.
Oh, yeah.
This is an actual storyline on The Love Boat, Cornflake.
This is not good.
Meanwhile, Priscilla Barnes is on the cruise. Priscilla Barnes was the third blonde roommate on Three's Company.
I remember Priscilla Barnes, yes.
You know, Terry, the nurse.
Terry.
You had Suzanne Summers, then you had Jenna Lee Harrison, then you had Priscilla Barnes on Three's Company. And we also know her, of course, from Mallrats as the topless psychic, right?
Yep. That was actually the first thing I thought of.
So here's Priscilla Barnes, anyway, playing a rich Swedish woman and putting on the worst Swedish accent in the history of television.
Oh, boy.
So that's pretty astonishing. She falls madly in love with Gopher.
Gopher.
From the Love Boat crew. So much so that she lures him off the ship to just quit and get married to her and just live in Sweden from now on.
That is wild.
Yeah, but don't worry. He has a change of heart, of course, and goes running back to the ship. Meanwhile, I haven't gotten to the weird part yet.
You haven't?
No. Here's what makes this the most legendary, wonderful episode of Love Boat that I'm aware of, at least. Priscilla Barnes, as the rich Swedish lady with the horrible Swedish accent, owns a horse. And there's a couple of horse thieves on board as well. They have a plan to steal this horse. They are Telly Savalas, who is essentially famous for being a bald guy.
Right.
At least by the time I was aware of him in the 70s, he had a detective show called Kojak back in the 70s. Telly Savalas is there. And his assistant is Janet Jackson.
Wait.
Your girl Janet, she's on the Love Boat with Telly Savalas, Cornflake.
Helping with horse thievery?
Yes, they have a plan to steal a horse. That's fine. Here's the plan. If you were going to steal a horse, the easiest way to do it is build a robot, right?
Yeah.
That's just common sense. Specifically, they built a robot that looked exactly like Isaac the bartender from the Love Boat. They made an Isaac robot. And had the robot steal the horse for them. Wait, why do you need a robot double of a bartender from a cruise ship to steal a horse? They didn't really explain that part. They just did it.
I bet he fooled everybody, that robot.
He did. It was beautiful. This is my new favorite episode of The Love Boat, Cornflake. And it's a stark reminder of how important it is that we stay inside, that we stay away from other people, and we just keep staring at ridiculous junk from the 80s.
It will save us all.
This is going to save everybody. Stay inside. Watch Isaac Robots on the Love Boat. By the way, I have not forgotten. We have a script from the Love Boat here.
We do.
I have it right here. You're not in the studio with me tonight, but we have a script. Our buddy Ed from the Sponge Awareness Foundation mailed us a actual script from an actual Love Boat episode, and it's autographed by the entire cast. Now I'm wondering, because this has a Ted Lang's signature is on the cover of this, his autograph. But now I'm wondering, what if this was the robot double that signed this thing?
You'd never know the difference.
It could be. It could be. Anyway, folks, I've not forgotten we have a script in the Love Boat here, and one of these days we're going to do something with this script for the show.
Maybe that's what we should do to celebrate when we all get back out into the world.
That's how we're going to celebrate as a people. Yes, we'll do a live reading of the Love Boat script. There's something to look forward to. Say, Cornflake, I made up a little game to play with you.
I like games. I like games, especially when I'm stuck indoors.
This is a game that it's going to be quick, it's really short, and it's stupid, and it's inspired by the fact that you're stuck indoors right now.
Lay it on me. What you got?
In fact, the name of the game is Trapped in the House.
I have a feeling I'm going to be good at this game. Go on.
You've been practicing for this game for a few weeks.
I've had some warm-up rounds.
Yes. Here's the idea. I'm just going to give you some choices. Like, you're trapped in the house for weeks or months. Would you rather be trapped with this or that?
Okay.
Simple as that. I'm just going to give you a couple of options. You give me your choice, and I will tell you if you are correct. I have the correct answers here.
Okay, so is this a think fast sort of game?
Or take all the time you want. Where are we going?
Good point. Okay. I'm ready.
All right. And there are only five of these. We're just doing five rounds, so nice and quick.
Okay.
Question one, you're trapped in the house. Do you want to be trapped with Blair or with Tootie?
Tootie.
Of course, Tootie. That's an easy one. I wanted to start you with an easy one. That was just kind of your warm-up round.
I can't even believe that there would be a chance that Blair could be the answer to that question.
Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine what kind of a maniac would choose to be trapped with Blair from The Facts of Life over Tootie? Can you imagine the whining and complaining coming out of Blair?
Well, I'm just imagining her brushing her hair. It's 100 strokes with that brush, as I recall from her, and nobody else is brushing their hair right now. That would just be straight out annoying.
It would be brushing her hair, and then whenever she puts the hairbrush down, she's just going to start complaining again.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, with Tootie.
Yeah. We'd be roller skating around the house.
Yeah, like you'd be building like ramps and things.
I've always wanted somebody to do indoor skating in the house with, and then I'd have Tootie.
She would put on some Jermaine Jackson records, and you could do some couples skating, you and Tootie.
That really sounds magnificent.
That would be like a dream. Okay, that's round one.
Okay.
Nicely done. But again, obviously that one's super easy. Getting a little more difficult now.
Okay.
My next question is, you're trapped in the house with John Flansburgh or John Linnell. This is a They Might Be Giants themed question, of course. The two guys from They Might Be Giants, are you going to be trapped with Flansburgh or Linnell? Pick a John.
My jaw just hit the computer that I am zooming in on for this show, Kevin. I have to pick between John Linnell and John Flansburgh?
Yeah, yeah. See, no more Tootie questions. This got difficult now. And keep in mind, there is a correct answer.
There is a correct answer.
I had a whole team working on this here in Chickentown.
Man, I hope I don't let anybody down, but I think the answer is John Linnell.
Cornflake, you are incorrect. That is the incorrect answer. The correct answer is Flansburgh. We love both these guys. Come on, you and I, of course.
It's true.
We're huge fans. We like them both so much. The correct answer is Flansburgh for one simple reason, one simple word. Accordion. You know Linnell's going to break out that accordion at some point, and that eventually is going to be a problem. Flansburgh, he's got the guitar. He's got the left-handed guitar. That's fun.
He does. And he's, well, they're both bright. I was thinking of Linnell as the quiet one, and that's what tripped me up.
That's a good point. Your first thought might be go with the quiet guy. But no, that quiet guy's packing an accordion.
Oof.
All right. Question number three.
Okay.
You're going to be trapped in the house with either a yodeler, that is someone who just yodels all the time, or an auctioneer who has to practice their auctioneering skills all the time. Yodeler or auctioneer?
The auctioneer is eventually going to run out of things to auction off. The yodeler will never run out of any reasons to yodel, so I pick auctioneer.
You are correct, Cornflake.
Yes!
Yes, the correct answer is you want to be trapped in the house with an auctioneer.
Sold!
Even if they never run out of things to practice auctioning, you don't want to be trapped in a house with a yodeler. The yodeling will be way less tolerable than the auctioneering, I assure you. The auctioneering, at least, there'll be a nice rhythmic timing of it all. Then you'll actually kind of fall into a state of mind where you can just deal with it. The yodeling will just drive you completely maddeningly insane.
Plus, the auctioneer might be auctioning off some stuff I want, and I can't get out to go shopping these days.
So you might actually start bidding on stuff right there in your house.
Yeah. How convenient.
You got to buy your own stuff back.
Oh, yeah. I guess that would be
They're going to be auctioning things right back to you.
They're not going to bring stuff to auction. Okay. Never mind.
Do you remember the telephone auction?
Yes.
It was a TV show in like the mid-80s.
I might be remembering something different because I remember when public television did auctions on TV.
Oh, like a fundraising thing?
Yeah. So I think you're talking about something else.
Yeah, this was like a sort of a precursor, I suppose, to the Home Shopping Channel. This was a home shopping show disguised as an auction. They called it the telephone auction. But you were watching an auctioneer and in a room full of people bidding on stuff, but then they would just sell everything over the phone to everybody. So the whole thing was a sham. It was not even a real auction you were watching, but it just looked like an auction. They were trying to get you all excited and worked up about whatever junk they were selling and then call in and buy it.
Ooh, sneaky auctioneers.
at an amazing low price. It was a bizarre show. We would watch it every week. We were strangely fascinated by the whole thing. Anyway.
Auctioneer.
Correct answer. Auctioneer. Nicely done. All right. Question number four. Do you want to be trapped in the house with a kid who practices playing the flute all day? Or a kid who's practicing to audition for a local production of Annie all day? Oof. We have a flautist, a young flautist, so not a great flute player, mind you. This is a kid, I don't know, 10, 11 years old, you know, with a grade school marching band. Kid practicing the flute, or a kid that wants to be in a production of Annie?
Stuck in the house over a period of time that we've yet to determine how long it can go on.
Let's say weeks or months.
Weeks or months. I have to trust that one of two things is going to happen to our child flautist here.
Yep.
Either he is going to get better and listenable, he or she, I guess, or is going to run out of reeds at some point. You need a reed to play the flute, right?
That's where you're wrong, Cornflake. The flute.
Oh, no!
Although it's considered part of the woodwind family of instruments, there is no reed involved in a flute. No, the flute is just a big hunk of metal, or three big hunks of metal. No reeds on that. That flute is virtually indestructible.
Oh.
It'll easily outlast the pandemic.
Hey. I'm going with the flautist.
That's the correct answer once again, Cornflake.
Oh, good.
Yes. Yeah, even though I tried to terrify you with the thought of the indestructible flute.
You nearly led me right off the path there.
Yeah, because come on, I suppose a flautist is to an auctioneer as an aspiring Annie performer is to a yodeler, in that you don't want to be in a house with any of these people, but... Right. The kid with the flute, way more tolerable than the kid just singing songs from Annie all day.
And waiting to be in a production that you never know when it's actually going to be. And it's the same songs over and over. That would drive me insane.
Yeah, it's not like the kid's going to get the gig and move out of the house. No, right. This production is certainly not happening until we're all free to return to normal society. Meanwhile, it's just you having a hard knock life.
I don't think I could take that. I think it would not turn out well. So, yeah, stick me with the flautist kid.
That's the correct answer. Now, that said, I just saw a video this week. In fact, I posted it to our Flopcast Facebook page. I shared it. Our old friend Aileen Quinn. You know Aileen Quinn, who was Annie in the 1980s Annie movie?
Yes.
Aileen made a little video just earlier this week, and just kind of a little message saying hi to everybody and, you know, hope everybody's okay and staying safe. And nice little message. She's a very nice lady. I had a nice time the couple of times that I've met her. But she wraps up the video by singing Tomorrow.
How perfect.
And, you know, that's a song that we're all pretty sick of, but seeing Aileen just sing that for everybody right now under these circumstances kind of got to me. So I'm not saying you want to move into a house with a kid that's trying to be in Annie, but a real Annie from the 80s singing Tomorrow for everybody right now, I thought was quite nice. So look up that video, everybody.
Yeah, you did not present Aileen Quinn as an option.
Oh, no. No, if your choice is a kid playing the flute or Aileen Quinn, yeah, I'm moving in with Aileen. Come on.
You and me both.
She's cool. And I like her band as well. These days she sings with a band, Aileen Quinn and the Leapin' Lizards, like a jump swing kind of band, and they're fun.
Oh, we got more of these, right?
Final question, Cornflake. Trapped in the house. Do you want to be trapped in a house with a turkey or 10 turkeys? It's you in a house, one turkey or 10 turkeys?
I know what you're going to say the right answer is, Kevin. And I know I'm going to disagree with you.
What do you think?
One turkey.
Your choice is one turkey?
And
well,
if I am wrong, I don't want to be right.
As you feared, Cornflake, that is incorrect. The correct answer is 10 turkeys. Imagine the fun, the endless fun and excitement of 10 crazed, screaming, gobbling turkeys all around you, everywhere you go, nowhere to hide in your house. There's 10 turkeys. Come on. That's the best.
Precisely why I picked one, because I feel like I've got a chance hiding from one.
I really wish there were 10 turkeys here in the studio with me right now. So you made the wrong choice there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I hope someday you understand the grave mistake that you've just made.
I hope someday you can forgive me.
Overall, though, you got 3 out of 5. Pretty good.
Yeah. Tough one tripped me up there, but I think we're going to have to agree to a disagree on that fifth one.
That was a solid round of Trapped in the House. You know what? I'll let you turn the tables on me. Do you want to prepare 5 options for me for next week?
You betcha. I was already starting to think of what they would be.
I was already mentally preparing my list. My revenge list, I call it.
Yes.
All right. Next week, we'll play Trapped in the House again, but you're hosting. You're Wink Martindale next week.
I am so ready to be Wink.
All right, Cornflake, you know what? That's about enough of this foolishness. Get us out of here.
I can do that. Well, we do have presence on the internet between shows. We are at flopcast.net. We're on facebook.com/flopcast. We're on Twitter. Our handle is @flopcast. And we are on Instagram, the_flopcast. We imagine you're spending some time on the interwebs these days, too, to pass the time away. So give us a shout. We're excited to hear from you.
Absolutely. And also, before we wrap up completely, let's say happy 10-year anniversary to Earth Station 1. Our flagship podcast here on the ESO Network is 10 years old now.
Double digits for ESO. Happy, happy birthday.
That's a lot of podcasting. All of our shows on the ESO Network are cranking out content for you to enjoy through these troubling times. So hang with us here on the network. Yeah, congratulations, Mike and Bobby and everybody who's been involved with Earth Station 1 over the years. And meanwhile, hey, thanks, Cornflake. Hang in there.
You too. Stay strong.
Yeah, everybody, be safe, be good.
And don't get trapped in the house with any yodelers.
If you're going to be trapped in a house, do it with 10 turkeys. We're thinking of you. Take care. Keep in touch. See you next week.
Peace and cookies.
You have 30 seconds to describe Thunder Talk.
It's pop culture.
With a twist.
It's music.
LGBTQ+.
And comedy.
Well, dark comedy.
It's nerd junk.
It's comic books.
Video games.
Conventions.
Yeah, nerd junk.
And social commentary.
It's woke, yo.
Yeah, and nerd junk.
Woke nerd junk.
Thunder Talk is all over the place.
Every place you want to be.
Thunder Talk is a proud member of the ESO Network. Find us at thundertalk.org and download us on all podcast platforms.
Okay, hello. This is the secret after show. Cornflake, hi.
Hi, Kevin.
Here we are in secret.
And I can give a secret Cornflake book club update.
Oh, yes. What's happening with the book club?
The book club. So many books being read at once because I fell behind, Kevin. But this is not the worst of times to have that problem. So
yeah,
here we are for March. It was James Acaster's Classic Scrapes that I was reading. So, of course, I'm hearing these stories in his voice, but I'm thinking it would be so much cooler to actually hear these stories in his voice. And lo and behold, I found on Audible, though not every book you find on Audible is going to be in the author's voice, the James Acaster's Classic Scrapes is. So now I've gone back to the beginning and I'm listening him narrate his book. I don't expect that I'm going to do that with the other books that have been suggested to me along the way, but for this one, it is an extra special treat.
Yeah, you probably don't want the audiobook version of Scud the Disposable Assassin.
No, that's just going to be not quite the same.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.